Praise the name of Jesus. So, the love of God. That's our message today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. What would we do if God did not love us? We'd do nothing, would we? We wouldn't have been anywhere at all except in sin and discouragement and all the things that the world goes through. But our Lord loves us. What a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and read a scripture first. So we'll turn there, and then we'll have prayer over this and ask the Lord to bless us as we study this lesson, as we go through this, about how God loves us so much. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you. I'm going to go ahead and pray right now. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And we're asking you to bless this message to our hearts and give us peace and strength through it, dear Father, that you loved us so much that you came down and you gave us. You came down as the Son of God and you gave us salvation. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So 1 John 3:1. I love the way this is worded. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So behold, this word behold means to be aware, consider it, and understand it. Be aware of who we are. We are the sons of God, the children of the Lord, the living God. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Praise the Lord. What manner of love did it take for us to have this beautiful place with the Lord? Another translation says, what incredible quality of love. What incredible it is, isn't it? When we think about how much he loves us and about our sin as a human race, how incredible it is. But praise the Lord, God loved us. In Romans 5:8, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. What a blessed thing that he loved the world enough that he came down. Hallelujah. Back to our verse there. Notice the Father has bestowed this upon us. I love that. In Matthew 22:37, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's a quote from the Old Testament. But that is exactly what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Our life goes so much better in the natural if we really put Jesus first. We put God the Father first in our lives. Love him with everything we have. Praise the name of Jesus. And I was reminded again, and you can say it with me, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, I love that verse. I think it was the first one I ever memorized, but it's so precious, isn't it? In John 5:42 says, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. This is a sermon about the love of God. Now, there are many people who don't have the love of God in them. But you know, the love of God in our lives is because we have Christ. Christ. We receive Christ as our Savior. And it's caused that new life to be in us that so loves God. Loves the Father. I hope every one of us love the Lord that much. In Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have any love until we realized that we were sinners and needed this beautiful place with the Lord. And I'm going to just right now just quote this to you. You can turn to John 1 if you want to. We're going to kind of stay in 1 John there for a bit, but anyway, in John, St. John, 1:11 through 13. This is what it says. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, or believed him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Do you know? I don't know of anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. You're a child of God. You're a son of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Sons and daughters of the living God. Praise the Lord. As many as received them, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. I was talking about the new birth. Not by natural, not of blood. You know, when we were born, blood was there, and we had blood. Nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. See? You all know this. You know that it's God's perfect will and his plan that brought forth the Savior as crucified, and took all of the burden of our sin upon himself. Isn't that amazing to think? And he was, if you see, someone mentioned a movie about Jesus. When you see how badly they beat him and all of the terrible things, just horrible, that old crown on his head and everything. Oh, my goodness, it's horrible to think of, isn't it? And yet, no matter what it costs, what the cost would be, do you think he didn't know? Yes, he did. He knew when he came to this earth that he was going to be the Savior and that would require crucifixion. He knew that. And oh my, he was willing to do it. It wasn't the will of the flesh, but it was the will, and not the will of man, but the will of God. Hallelujah. So in the New Testament, it was written in Greek originally, you know, and there are there are different Greek words. I'm not going to cover all of them today, but that speak of love, okay? There's one that's T-H-E-L-O, thelo, and it's used in Mark 12:38. It says that people of Jesus' time who love to dress in long clothing. Now, that's not speaking about our salvation. We don't go and get dressed in long clothing so we can please God. That isn't what the word teaches. But that is one form of the word love in the New Testament when it says that they love to dress in long clothing. Many people have that kind of attitude. Now, I'm not talking about just wearing long clothing, but thinking that something that they do will make God love them more. And there are groups, I've witnessed them myself during my lifetime, of women with long hair that could not, you know, feel like God would punish them if they cut their hair. And sleeves in the hot weather and everything, clear down to here and clear up here and clear down to the foot. Covering everything. They thought that that's what God wanted for them. And we know he wants us to be modest, but they love their long clothing, it says there. And then there's another word for love, and that's phileo. Phileo, P-H-I-L-E-O. And that word means brotherly love. And we know it's used quite a few times. It's a pure form of love, with no evil connotations. In other words, there's nothing that hinders that thought that this is brotherly love. So when we love one another in the natural, or we love them in Christ, but of course then that becomes the last word, doesn't it? Agape is the deepest kind of love that we have in the Lord. He's the one that has given us agape love. And when we love one another and the other members of the body, we try to help one another, we're manifesting agape love. Now, agape love is always, when it speaks of God's love, it's always agape. You can look at this. I looked in the Old Testament to try to find out how many times God said love, that he loved them. And it is a lot of times in the Old Testament. I was kind of thinking, you know, I know the scripture, but I was kind of thinking, well, they were under the law. Maybe he didn't say that many times, but he did. He said that he loved them. And so this agape love is God's love, and it has another meaning. It's sacrificial love. We know what happened. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for us. It was a sacrifice, great sacrifice in God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for Jesus to give his life for us. Oh, I praise him that he did. None of us would be ready for heaven if it wasn't for that. We could not be good enough. Praise the Lord. So agape love is very important. So turn with me now to 1 John 3, verse 1 again. We had a little bit there. And it says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed. And in another translation, it says, what peculiar and unique love. See, we're thinking about, well, what kind of love did God have? It was peculiar to the flesh, isn't it? It's a very peculiar thing that God could love people that are sinners, because most people think God only loves people that are good people, that's the ones he loves. But he manifests his love for us even when we were yet sinners, as we said, quoted a while ago from the scripture. And he has bestowed it on us. That doesn't mean we worked for it. It's a gift. The Bible says that, doesn't it? It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3, I believe, verse 6. That's one of my favorite scriptures. And so he bestowed this. Another meaning for that word means he granted it to us. Okay, if you're granted something that you need, you know what that means. Well, the Lord granted us this eternal salvation and the death of Jesus Christ as our Savior without charging us. Our part is to believe. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul, or one of the disciples, said, and thou shalt be saved. Believe and thou shalt be saved. And we've been called the sons of God. What a thing. What a thing that he would call us the sons of God. Praise the Lord. This love of God is shed abroad to us before we're ever born again, but it gets a lot stronger once we are the children of the living God. He's watching over us. He is protecting us. He is taking care of us constantly, meeting our needs. He loves us so much. We can't emphasize that enough. It makes me want to cry because he's so great. And the world does not know him because it knew Jesus not. It didn't know Jesus. And you look at the world right now, I'm very into knowing and believing that Jesus Christ is coming very soon. We are experiencing things that we never have had before in this United States and in the world. And I really believe that his great love for his people that have been born again looking for him and all of this, he's going to come very, very soon. The world does not know him, and it's worse than ever. And then he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. We, right now, are the children of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. And then he goes ahead to say, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Boy, that's a lot in that message, isn't there? A lot in that verse. Just think, we're going to have a glorified body just like Jesus when he rose from the grave. We're not going to be going in our own old fleshly body. We're going to be translated, if we're ready for that translation, we're going to be translated out of this life, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, those believers. Got to see a lot of graves while I was gone. And it was amazing to think of how all of those loved ones that we saw there, we saw their gravestones and things, were very beloved people and really loved God. One was a young man that Brother Kern's son was ready to go to Bible college, Bible school, and coming down the highway, and a drunk man got on the wrong side of the four lanes got over here on that wrong side and hit him and killed him instantly. And it was just amazing, you know. We had, his brother was with us. He's married to our niece. So that was just an amazing thing. We've all gone through so many things, and there are many people that have passed on from this life and are waiting for that beautiful time when the Lord says, come up here. The word is hither in the 1 Thessalonians 4, come up hither, but it means come up here. And notice it says, does not yet appear what we shall be. We really don't understand that because we never experienced, but it's going to happen. The word of God is true, absolutely true, and it's going to happen. But we know we shall be like him because that's what the scripture says. We're going to be in a different form. Praise the Lord. A new body, as it says, for we shall see him as he is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now we're going to go down to verse 7 of this chapter. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now when we're born again, we receive a new life, and that new life is righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? It means to be like God in one respect. God is a righteous God. And that's the new life of Christ that comes into us. We're born of the Spirit. We have a new life. And that new life is eternal life. It tells us in John 3:16. He died that we might have eternal life. That's the words of Jesus. A lot of people don't believe that, but that's the words of Jesus. Eternal is eternal. It isn't part-time. So that love of God that came into us, then that new birth, Jesus in us, love comes from our life, doesn't it? The life of Jesus that's inside of us. So love comes when we're born again and we have Jesus in us, born again. Let's look at verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And praise the Lord for the love of God that brought forth Jesus to pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world. The world is so evil right now, and we know that. It has been in years past and times past. But praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. In our hearts, by the Holy Ghost, it says. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We all should feel love toward Jesus and God the Father and toward one another. If the enemy tries to make us to have a problem with somebody else, we need to pray about that, because really and truly, the Lord wants us to love one another, regardless of faults. And you all have faults. I admit that. I have faults. We all have faults. Okay. So we're going to love one another. Then in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, or exhibits, that word means exhibit in the Greek, his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commends his love to us. He exhibits it. Does he? Does he? Yes, he does. I can tell you in my life, God has exhibited his love to me. He has to you too. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the love of God. How he guarded us, how he took care of us. Praise the Lord. He's so faithful. He's the originator of this love. And it's an enduring attribute. His love will never fail. His love will never fail us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what he said. Was that true? Or was he just telling us something? He told that in this different ones of the gospel messages. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many times we've had to claim that promise. Praise the Lord. But he's the originator of love. and its enduring attributes that he has exhibited to us always. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, there's God, to show love in our daily life toward others and show that we have Christ in us and the love of the Father. We may think of that, but I love to think of how much he really loves me. I can't tell you all that the Lord does for me, but it's wonderful. Each one of us who've gone on with the Lord very long, we know how the Lord takes care of us. He's so faithful. He just, you know, helps me out in all kinds of ways all the time. And I'm so thankful to the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. So let's read with verse 9. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. This is kind of a hard verse to understand, but it's speaking of the new life that we have in us. The new life in us is Christ. Christ lives in me. That new Christ life cannot commit sin. Now, in my flesh, I still can do that. But we also have an amazing thing because we have the power of God in us. See, before we were saved, we didn't have the power of God. We couldn't help it. But now, since we are born of God, we have a new life that does give us strength to come to recognize what sin is. The Holy Spirit reveals that to us. Has he ever tapped on your shoulder? He has all of us. Don't say that. Don't do that. You know, that's not Christ's life. That's not Christ-like. But he shows us to walk in the Spirit and yield our life to him. Praise the Lord. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest. That word means to be exposed or brought to light. So remember other scriptures in the Word that tells us that ye are the lights of the world? Jesus said, didn't he? He said, you are the lights of the world. All right. So he says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That's that new life of Christ that is in us. We still have the ability to commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That's the new life of Christ in us, I believe. The old nature, of course, we can still, brother brought this morning in his lesson, that, you know, we still have that old nature. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest. God has brought it to light, those that walk in the Spirit and yield their lives to Christ. He brings it into the light. He says, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So there are characteristics of when we are born again, when we let the Lord Jesus be our Savior, and it's a characteristic of love. We have Christ in us. Christ produces love in our life. It's the new life, the new creation. And it's doing righteousness. When we walk in the Spirit, we're walking in righteousness before the Lord. And praise the Lord. Glory to God. So the love of God in our hearts comes from the life of Christ that is in us. Christ is in your life. Once you know Jesus as your Savior, he lives in you. And that new life of Christ, you ever have an experience where it's almost like the Lord spoke to you and said, hey, you know, you're not showing love. Does that ever happen? You need to do differently than this. You need to be, you know, more overcoming and so on. And don't say those things again. You know? I'm telling you, everybody here has been through that. Do you want to raise your hand? No, I won't make you raise your hand. So the love of God comes from the life of Christ that is in us. And, you know, the Word so teaches us about having Christ manifest in our life. And how lovely and wonderful Jesus Christ was on the earth. Put up with people, and there it is. crucifixion and beaten him like, oh my goodness, just to a pulp, making him carry his own cross, knocking him around and hitting him and knocking him down and all the things. I just can't imagine what that would have been like to have had to suffer all of that. But yet he loved us so much. And that's our attitude that we should have toward one another, whether it's our marital need, we have a spouse, we have to show love, but whether it's a person that really, really bothers us, we need to manifest love. Love, so patient. Remember in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, love is patient. Love is kind. That's how wonderful love is. Praise the Lord. I don't have time to read all that. I was going to read that too, but I don't have time to read it. So maybe you should go and read it at home. Read the 13th chapter. It's a beautiful chapter. So the love of God in our lives comes from the life of Christ. It isn't our thinking, you know, like some of the world does this. Okay, I don't like so-and-so, but I'm going to try my best. I'm going to try my best. And you know what? The best is not enough, because our best is not. I don't know if any of you have ever tried that before, but I did one time. I wouldn't say just one time. But a person had so offended us and so did so much bad stuff that it was very hard for me to forgive. And the Lord spoke to me when I was at a big meeting, and my husband too, and this individual came in. We hadn't seen him in a long time. He came in and sat down right in front of us. And the Lord, I probably told you this. I was sitting there just seething. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you forgave, and I'm not going to tell you my family member, but it was a family member that had done some bad stuff. You forgave them, but you are not willing to forgive him. And I started crying, and I asked the Lord to help me. And afterward, I felt the Lord say, go to this individual and tell them that you've forgiven them. And this person was way on the other side of this big church, and I went there and I said, I want to tell you, I have forgiven you. It's hard sometimes. But love should be the chief attribute of a person who's born of God. It's so important. It's very, very important. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's in Galatians 5, it tells us what is the fruit of the Spirit. Love is one of the big, I think the main one listed there. Praise the name of Jesus.